Blog Talk Radio.
Beautiful, beautiful Wednesday morning to you all, for others who are listening in other parts of the world. Good day or good afternoon to you. I do apologize for my tardiness in getting live. I'm still having some technical difficulties with Skype. And I'm so thankful for my honored guest for holding on in the chat room. I noticed she was there holding on, and I tried to reach her on her phone, and I left her a voicemail. So I'm praying that she got that message from me and know that I saw her there. So I will bring her on live at the moment. I'm just so thankful for her patience. I want to remind you that you can call in with your questions and to join into the dialogue this morning by dialing 646-915-8166. And I have three guests today. My first guest is going to be out of Canada, and she's the creator and founder of Crafted Spaces. You heard her on the show a couple of weeks ago. And then we are doing something a little kind of non-traditional this morning. There is a nonprofit here in Danbury that is doing a lot of amazing things in the community. And their executive director, Carrie Amos, will be on this morning briefly after my first guest. And I've offered them a platform to talk about Christmas in June that they will be doing. So you don't want to miss that. And then my third guest for the day will be Mr. Leon Ellis out of Harlem, New York. And if you're thinking about entrepreneurship, you definitely want to be here for Mr. Ellis's conversation with me. So I thank you again. I will get to the chat in a minute. I just want to welcome my honored guest and to thank her for her patience and tolerance. Mrs. Coty Darby, good morning, and how are you? Hello. Yvette, are you there? Hello, Yvette. I see her there. She's on live. She does not appear to be hearing me. Hello, Yvette. Good morning. Hello? Yvette, can you hear me? If you are not hearing me, then you probably need to hang up and call back in. Well, I don't know what is happening. I have her on live. Okay, I guess she heard when I asked her to hang up and call back in. And she is doing that, I think. So we're going to wait to see her call back in. We have such a powerful show lineup this morning, and we really don't need all the technical glitches that we are encountering this morning. So I will wait for Mrs. Darby. She calls back in. Good morning. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I am great. I am having a bit of technical glitches, but I am not sure what Skype is doing this morning. But in spite of that, we are just going to make the best that we can.
Certainly. Well, thank you for having me today.
It is a pleasure. It is a pleasure. And I just wanted to just go right into it, please. I'm doing the show on the phone at the moment because Skype has a mind of its own when it's ready. Please take this time to introduce yourself for me, Yvette.
Certainly. I was on your show a couple weeks ago, and I am a designer and artist as well as a business development consultant. I have been designing my own collection of clothing and fashion accessories for now, I guess, about 17 years now.
Wonderful. And, you don't even look as if you're quite 16.
Well, there you go. So for a while, yes. So I'm dating myself there. And about a year ago, I started Verona Collections, which has been a long-time passion for me.
Yes.
I'm a mom as well as a wife and daughter and a friend and lots of things on my plate, but I find that creating is something that rejuvenates me and definitely excites me a lot, and so I wanted to sort of share and, you know, support other people as they do the same.
Yes, I was impressed when I read about it. As a matter of fact, I teach a class at my church in pursuit of purpose. And I mentioned it in the class because I have a few crafters there in the class. And I said, you ought to visit that page and look, because that's a place that will help you to showcase who you are and what you are about. And I want to just commend you and creating that platform that people across the world can utilize, because they don't have to be in Canada.
Oh, no, yes, definitely.
Yeah, wherever they are. And I'm thinking, what a beautiful thing to have to go, because a lot of people are stuck just to their local area. And here you are presenting a global platform. So the idea, how did that idea come to you?
As I said, I've been designing my own collection since 1994 and even before that. And one of the things that I found was that there wasn't really, I mean, there has been a more and more over the years as the internet has sort of taken off and social media has taken off. But for a long time, there really, really wasn't a lot of options and platforms out there to give voice to small designers and crafters and artisans. And I had spent some time in the Caribbean and came back to Toronto a couple of years ago and found that nothing had really changed. And so the idea was still sitting there with me about how can I help to create a forum and also, kind of put out the community that is there, because there's a very strong and growing craft and artisan and design community, at least in Ontario, Toronto area. But it's really giving a face to that.
Yes.
A lot of times the local media doesn't always put the kind of spotlight that I personally anyway think should be placed on that particular segment of the creative world. And so it was one of those things where I thought, you know what, I'm really curious to see what other people's experiences are and share with people my own experience and maybe what evolves out of it. And hence Crafted Spaces sort of was born.
Right. You know, I'm so excited about the fact that you opened it up to the rest of the world, because, you know, a lot of people in today's world are kind of selfish. It's a shame to say that, but they just think, well, this is my stuff and I want to just do it for me. But here you are. You say, I want to create this platform for everybody to utilize. And
definitely,
so long as they are willing to expose themselves and are ready for the growth, the platform is there. Before you reply to what I just said, I want to welcome guests 2413 and 2415 to the chat. Yes, Yvette. So go ahead.
I think one of the things is that you're right. Like, I wanted to have it be not just for women, but also men and women across the board. But also, too, like, I have, you know, friends that are members of the group that are from Australia, that are from, you know, the Philippines, that are from the Caribbean, you know. And it really, to me, it's also showing that we all have a very shared experience.
Exactly.
Where we want to explore creativity and live creatively. And these are our experiences, and these are the things that we do. And kind of putting it out there and gaining inspiration from each other, ideally, right?
And the other thing that this show, Yvette, is that our community and our neighborhood is no longer in our local vicinity.
Exactly.
It is now globally. As long as you can plug in a computer, your community and your neighborhood has just expanded. And I think each and every entrepreneur needs to just take advantage of whatever is there for you, because too often I go to events and people are ripping their hair out about what is not happening in their community. And I say, you're not chained to this community. I say, you have a business. You should be ready to go out and expose yourself to the rest of the world. You know, people think this bad thing is happening on the computer. And yes, maybe that is happening, but if you take the time to research, there are a lot of wonderful things that are happening as well. So you cannot look at the things, the negative things that you hear, and to take that from hindering your success and your progress. I want to also welcome guest 2469 to the show. I want to remind you guys, you can type your questions in and you can call 646-915-8166 if you have a question for Mrs. Michelle Yvette Cuttle Darby. Your name is as a mouthful as mine is, Yvette.
Yes, it is. It is quite a mouthful.
Yeah. What are some of the feedbacks that you have gotten since Crafted Place Spaces went live and people are really embracing?
I think what I've been getting, I mean, my Facebook group is probably the most place I'm getting a lot of feedback directly from, and obviously people tend to email me directly versus posting their comments. But what I've found is that people are actually finding it really, you know, not just informative but inspiring to them, because there are a few people that are there that are new and they're now sort of forging their own creative business ventures. And I think being able to kind of take a peek into what other people are doing is really helpful. But I do, for sometimes when people get to kind of talk out what they're doing, it's kind of like it kind of puts their thoughts in a better order, so to speak. So I think some of the guests that I've had so far on both my blog as well as on the Blog Talk Radio, it has been really, I think, been very positive in their feedback in terms of how they've been able to kind of, you know, that experience of talking through what they've been doing. And I think, you know, I'm have a full lineup for the rest of, you know, next month or two. So it should be quite interesting to see how the conversations go from here.
Right. What are some of the lessons you have learned since you have launched Crafted Spaces? What would you have done differently if you were to launch it now? So what have some of the ups and also some of the downs be since you have launched Crafted Spaces?
Well, I think when I first started, I had sort of set out a sort of editorial kind of layout of all the different blogs that I wanted to post online. Because the site is not only meant, it's meant to be a business support site. It's meant to be a site that supports existing artisans. It's meant to help bring people who want to support artisans and what they do, also bring them to the forum, and also provide sort of like little fun DIY tips for those who just want to do a little craft something, right, and share those things. But what I found is, I mean, I'm a mother of two, and it's a little bit overwhelming in terms of being able to always the kind of content you need posted. And so, like, I've definitely transformed my blog posting now, and I'm not as rigid as I was with wanting to try and keep it to, like, you know, 4 or 5 blogs a week, because it is a lot. And I will say that that is definitely has been a challenge with all of my schedule. I am finding that it took me a while to kind of get going with the Blog Talk Radio, because we had looked at a couple other options for doing the podcast. And in the end, the final decision was with Blog Talk Radio. And I actually have found that to be very positive, and I've found it a very easy and user-friendly platform for what I wanted to do. But I think overall that would be the two things, would be kind of like maybe biting off a little bit more than I could have chewed in the beginning. And now finding myself kind of now sitting down and saying, okay, this is what I can handle, and kind of organizing it a little bit better.
Wonderful, wonderful. Would you go ahead, please, and just list some of the artists that you are looking for? Because there are many artists out there, and they're probably thinking, I don't know whether my craft or product is for that platform. But would you go ahead and just say who are welcome there?
It's really any individual who wants to, or who is currently exploring their own creativity, either as a hobby or as a business. If you're sort of thinking about it, or you're looking at developing your own creative business, it's definitely a forum for you. If you have your own creative business and you want to find a way of networking with other people and promoting what you're doing, it's perfect for that. As far as what types of crafts and designs, it's really quite open. So far, I mean, we have people who do everything from refurbishing and repainting furniture, vintage furniture, to, you know, like recently we had two guys on that are partners that do printed T-shirts.
I love that. I want to have those guys on my show. I have to talk to you off air about that. I just love them.
Yeah,
not only the
amazing
art that they do, but their friendship from, what, middle school or something.
Exactly, age 11.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
I'm going to have some girls on that have known each other for a while as well, and they have their own collective and partnership going. To people like, you know, the owner and founder of, you know, Fresh Collective, which is a larger collective in Toronto, where there's over, you know, 30 plus artists that kind of, you know, are under one umbrella. So it's
beautiful.
Pretty much ranges. You know, from the one art, you know, one dreaming to be artisan, and I have something that I'm a photographer or a sewer or, a, you know, or somebody that anything that you create that is coming out of your heart and the, you know, with your hands, and to somebody who has maybe has a polished line of something that they've developed and they're out there already and they're established, because I think all of the stories are helpful. All of the information is helpful.
Is the platform only to showcase, or there is some exchange of revenue taking place?
Well, the idea at this point was that all of what I've been doing are pure editorials. There is the opportunity to place advertising on the blog or sponsor a spot with regard to the radio, with regard to the podcast. The idea also is I have a Ning community, which is a creative community where you can also join. And within that, there will be ongoing workshops, both free workshops as well as workshops that are paid workshops that are part of the business development aspect of it. And those workshops will be focused on, just like my blog, it would be focused on different aspects of developing your craft business, from learning how to price to identifying what type of trade shows work best for you, to developing your product, to refining your brand.
Okay.
So there is several levels to it.
Right. Okay. We have another maybe less than 5 minutes remaining here. However, I will continue speaking with you until my other guests call in, because she's only going to be on for 15 minutes because she has to go someplace. But we will continue speaking until she calls in. So what I want for you to do is to tell people how to get in touch with you, and just to summarize our conversation this morning, please, Michelle.
Yes, certainly. I can be reached by email, which is one of the most easiest way, which is at craftedspaces@gmail.com. I have my blog, which is at thecrafted-spaces.blogspot.com. I'm also on Blog Talk Radio, where it's under Crafted Spaces as well. You can also find me on Facebook, where we have our fan page as well as myself listed there as Crafted Spaces. So there's quite a number of options. We also have our creative community on craftedspaces.ning.com. So there's a couple options there for people. Again, the idea is that if you are someone that's developing your craft or existing craft professional, or someone who simply wants to support, you know, unique products that are made by the artists, and that you want to be able to connect with that community and support that community, then all of which is welcome. The idea is that I'm obviously always looking for people that might be interested in sharing their stories as well. There's a couple different options for doing so. I have a YouTube channel as well. And I'm always interested in meeting and talking to new people about what it is that they're doing, and being able to showcase that. And again, the idea is to promote the idea of living creatively, and it's about, you know, creative people, creative places, and creative things to do in your life.
And when can they listen in for your show?
The show runs on Wednesdays at 1 o'clock. So later on this evening, this afternoon, we'll be having a guest on from Elizabeth Victoria, and she's a millinery artist. So she's going to be talking about her hats and her creations, as well as going further into the topic as we've started in this segment about collaboration.
And are all your guests artists, or you have other entrepreneurs or business people on your show as well?
Thus far, it's just been artists. I am hoping and looking for other individuals that might have something that they'd like to add to the mix. Maybe individuals that have a specialty in a specific area that can be of assistance to artists. You know, if you are in the financial industry and you're looking at maybe providing your information or services to those individuals on how they can better plan and manage, that's also really helpful, I think. As well as, you know, as I said, other professionals who feel that they have a business-to-business service that can be of value to artists as well. I mean, they are business people. They're just in creative businesses, right? So
yes. So what thought do you want to leave the listeners with this morning?
Well, I think if you are out there and you are sort of, ruminating over the fact of, you want to do something creative with your life or in your life, and one of the things that I've referred to it as is designing one's own life, designing your life the way you want it to be. And it can be a challenge to sort of sometimes step out of, because a lot of the people I'm talking to had day jobs and the challenge of saying goodbye to the steady paycheck for a while and sort of exploring doing something creative with their lives and finding a way of using maybe a talent that's been given to them, so to speak, in order to make a livelihood for themselves, but also a way of expressing themselves. I think it can be a very rewarding path for one to take. And I think if the stories and the information that's shared can inspire you in that way, I would feel honored that it has. I think the idea is to have, even if you don't choose it as a career path, but for you to be able to incorporate some bit of creativity into your daily life.
That's right. And it's an outlet, our creativity are the outlets that we can support to help alleviate stress. Because
definitely,
a lot of people are living such extreme stressful lives because of the fact that they are not tapping into their creativity, which they can use as channels to get rid of the stress. And we are created beings. That's how we God created us, to be creative. And if we just follow our hearts, as I'm sure you have been doing all these years, we will all live a rewarding and fulfilling life. So I think more people need to just step out and follow their hearts.
Yes,
because that is where our authenticity and our uniqueness comes from.
Oh, definitely. And that was one of the things from my last interview that was resonated so well, when one of my guests was talking about that exact same thing with the words used there, the idea of living authentically and having it come from you and come from your heart. And people receive it in that way because they can tell that it's coming out of you and out of your heart. And as I said, even if it's not something that you've chosen as a career, but exploring, some creative project can definitely, as you've pointed out, be a wonderful stress reliever. But it also creates a sense of balance, I think.
Exactly.
We have many aspects and facets to who we are. And
exactly.
Even if somebody may say, well, I can't draw very well, I can't do this very well.
All right, you can do something else.
Exactly, and it's all an expression of who you are, and it helps your spirit to soar, I think.
That's right, because when I make that statement, I'm referring to me, because that's who I am, I know every time I sit with my coaches, because I have a few different coaches, and they thought, oh my God, you have all this going on, and you have all that going on. It's like you turn a faucet on. And it just begin to flow. And then I have to know how to harness and balance, and what am I going to put on the back burner, and what am I going to use now in order to just do what I have to do. But I tell you, the ride is beautiful.
Yeah.
The ride is beautiful. I don't have time to sit down and get bored because I'm alive.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have time to be getting bored. So it's a wonderful thing. Again, I want to congratulate you.
Well,
and I look forward to being on your show in dialogue with you, because I'm sure I can add value to your community. So I look forward to that. Continue doing God's
13.
Work. And I'm only a tweet, an email, or a telephone call away when you need for me to add value to what you're doing.
No, well, thank you so much. And thanks for giving me the opportunity to give additional voice to Crafted Spaces today.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much. And that was Mrs. Michelle Yvette Cuttle Darby, and she's the founder and CEO of Crafted Spaces out of Ontario, Canada. And we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping now.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, and
hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen.
Yes, I want to also ask you, if you're a female and you're a non-smoker and a non-drug user, and you want to spend between August the 26th to September the 11th, check out my Facebook page, because we are looking for 10 women to just go on a short vacation to Florida and just to spend some quality time together. So if you fit that description, we, I'm not against people who smoke and do drugs, at least, but that's not my lifestyle. And we are just going down there to have a great time. It's not a retreat. It's not a seminar. We're just looking for 10 women to share a villa. So check out on my Facebook page and check out the event, All Women Vacation in Florida. It's in a beautiful community, Highgate Park. And it is just a beautiful place. It's a villa owned by some people I know, and we are getting it for a beautiful price, where for 2 weeks you can get to go there for less than $400. And you know that does not happen in a hotel. If we are going in a hotel, you know that that is just 2 days for room, and you still got to get your food. And it's just going to be a great time. So check it out, and be one of those women that is coming on that trip with us. So I'm here waiting on the lady to call in from Jericho Partnership. And she's supposed to be calling in 7 minutes ago. So I am waiting to hear from her. I'm also looking for host families for the French Cultural Exchange Program. And the date that we are looking for families for is July the 10th through the 30th or August the 2nd through the 22nd. And the students are between the ages of 14 and 18. They are coming for 3 weeks. You can host either the full 3 weeks, or you can host later. You can host less than, so we can split the time up. They are here to learn about the American culture and way of life, and also to improve their English. I want to encourage you to just take part in this experience. It's an amazing experience. I've been coordinating this program since 1999, and the stories get better every year. There are lots of families who have been invited to go to France, and they are going back. And these are people who would never have gotten the opportunity to go to France to visit. And here they are, they can go to France, or they can send their children to France and not have to worry about whether they will be protected, because they will be in the homes of extended family. So, again, call me up, 860-355-9838. Call me if you're interested in getting more information about the program, or you can send me an email here on the radio show, or you can send me an email at dynamicdaphne@aol.com. I tell you, it's an amazing experience. You get to go on the trips with these people. We go to Boston. We go to New York City. We go to the amusement park here in Massachusetts. So it is an amazing, amazing opportunity and experience for you. So I look forward to you participating in the program. And I want to remind you that I have the show on Wednesdays and on Sundays. And if you are listening and you know someone who is interested in being a guest and they have a story to share about reinventing their lives or any other empowering story that is happening, I want for you to ask them to get in touch with me and I can talk with them about being on the show. I want to welcome guest 2867 to the chat. I'm waiting for the second guest to call in, which is supposed to be the executive director from Jericho Partnership, and she is coming on to speak about Christmas in, talk about Christmas in July, Christmas in June. And I think I will need to make a live call here on the air to find out what has happened to the guest. I don't know whether or not she is she forgot that she's supposed to call in. So, seeing that she was supposed to be calling on to speak about that event, I want to just go ahead and just make a live call here on the air and call her to see whether or not she is coming on the show. And let's hope she's coming on, because I tell you, this thing that they are looking to do is something wonderful, and I want to have her come on to talk about it. So we'll wait to hear what is happening here with her, and well, you're going to hear me live on the show talking to her. So just bear with me. Bear with me here, listener. The phone is ringing now.
Good morning, Jericho. This is Jennifer. How can I help you?
Good morning, Jennifer. This is Daphne Clark Hudson, and I'm calling from the A New Day radio show. Would you ask your executive director, Mrs. Amos, to call the show? The number is 646-915-8166. She should have been calling in.
Yes, she
said. Okay.
Repeat the number, 646-915-8166.
Yes, you're on live. Have her call in. Thank you much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Yes, so I got someone to have her call in. So let's hope that she calls in now. And I hope you can just work with me with all that's going on. They're having what is called Christmas in June, July, and August, when they're doing a lot of amazing things for the community and surrounding towns, I think it is. So we are going to have her come on to talk about it, and hopefully we will all benefit from that. I hope whether or not, yes, and I have her on now. Good morning, caller. Your last four digits are 1180. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Sure. My name is Carrie Amos, and I'm calling from the Jericho Partnership in Danbury, Connecticut.
Good morning, Mrs. Amos. I figure we're here waiting, and I decided to call live. So I just want your executive assistant to know she was on live. But I figure you probably didn't have the number. I don't know whether you got it. But now I have you, and I'm so thankful for you to take the time to be on the show this morning.
It's my pleasure.
Would you please tell the listeners what is Jericho Partnership and what special you're doing in the months of June, July, and August, please?
Sure, I'd be more than happy to. The Jericho Partnership is a collaboration of Christian churches and social service ministry organizations and private foundations whose mission is to serve the poor and needy of Danbury, Connecticut. We serve youth, the at-risk adult population, homeless populations here in Danbury. We do this by channeling funds. We're a grant-making organization, recruiting volunteers, offering facility space, and strategy support.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So now, because before at the top of the hour, when I was waiting, I was explaining to the listeners why it was important for me to offer the platform to your organization this morning to speak about the things you're doing. So now they know I didn't pay you to say what you say, so now they support me in giving the platform. Christmas in June,
yes.
July and August. What is this all about?
We are so excited to be offering Christmas this summer on the 25th of June, July, and August. Last summer we did it just in July, and we're blessed to be able to offer it 3 months this year. We have received a tremendous amount of clothing donations, toys, children's items, housing, household products, and small furniture items from very generous folks in the community. So on the 25th of June, July, and August, we are going to set up tables at our 44 Spring Street location in Danbury and open the doors to the community, folks in need who are in Danbury, to come in and to take items that they need with them at no cost to them. We will have volunteers on hand to help them pack bags, to offer them snacks, to pray with them if they want prayer, to connect them with other social service supports in the community, and just to show the love of Christ through our words and our deeds.
Wonderful. What a blessing. And is Christmas in July, is it limited only to people in the greater Danbury area, or is it extended? I know your focal purpose is the people there local to you. But if there are people who are listening and saying, oh, man, I live down in Brewster or Patterson, and I need a little something, would they be turned away if they turn up?
They will not be turned away. Our mission is to transform lives in the community of Danbury. But we take our mission from the parable of the Good Samaritan in the Bible, and,
yes.
and we don't suppose that on the road to Jericho that person was asked exactly where he was from and where he lived. So anyone
yes.
that comes will be served. We are limiting how many items people can take so that we can ensure everybody that comes is able to go home with something for themselves and their families. And if there's an item that somebody wants and we don't have it available, we will get their contact information, and we will do our very best to secure that item through some of our donors so that they can, in fact, get what they need to have.
Wonderful. I know you're under time constraint and everything, but what I want you to do before you go, Mrs. Amos, I want you to again tell the people the dates and the location where this is taking place and a contact number that they can reach you, please.
Sure, absolutely. So it's Christmas in the Summer on the 25th of June, July, and August. And all three of those dates will be held at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, which is a partner church to Jericho, located at 44 Spring Street in Danbury, Connecticut. And I would ask that anyone who's interested in either donating an item or helping to offset the cost of this event or coming in to receive items that they need, contact me at 203-791-1180, extension 225.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Amos, for taking the time to come on this morning and to just add value to my listeners and to let them know that there are still people who are doing great things in spite of all the obstacles that we encounter these days. And I just want to encourage you to keep doing God's work.
Well, thank you so much, and God bless you and all of your listeners.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Yes, that was Mrs. Carrie Amos, who is the executive director from the Jericho Partnership in Danbury, Connecticut. And what an amazing idea to have Christmas in June, July, and August. You know, that is such a unique, unique idea. So tell your friends about it. Tell your neighbors about it. If you have something that you want to donate, call them up. And again, the number to call is 203-791-1180. And just let them know you want to volunteer or you want to help to offset the cost of the event and just to help them doing the work that they are called to do. They have such a magnificent setup there in Danbury. And again, I want to remind you, if you are looking to go on a vacation with us in Florida, some of my friends and I, it's not work, it's just a vacation where we are going there to just hang out and invest time in each other. So if you want to pick our brains in a mutual setting, then you want to join us on August the 26th through September the 11th. And we are just going to have a great time, all women, spending and investing time in each other. Somebody sent me a message on Facebook to ask me whether it was a retreat. No, it's not a retreat. It's just a downright vacation where we are having a villa for ourselves, and we're just going to just be investing time in each other and have some great relationship. It's a non-smoking, non-drug-using trip. So if you fit that description and you want to be spending and investing time in my company, I want for you to check my Facebook page out on my event. That's the All Women's Vacation, and I want to see you there with me. Again, I want to talk about the French Cultural Exchange Program taking place July the 10th through the 30th and August the 2nd through the 22nd. If you are in Connecticut at all and in New York, we don't go to the other places. But if you are in Connecticut and New York, give me a call and send me a message from the show here and let me know that you want to get more information and you want to participate in the show. Also, you want to grab your pens and pads for my next guest who is coming on in less than 6 minutes. I should have my next guest on, Mr. Leon Ellis. And Mr. Ellis is the owner of a chocolate and mocha and the Harlem Underground. And that's such a wealth of experience that Mr. Ellis possesses. And he's coming on to share that with us this morning. So I want you to sit back and be comfortable, and we will be hearing from Mr. Ellis momentarily as he calls in. Also, if you think you have a story that fits into my show, call me up or send me a message. Check me out on Facebook. My fan page is Up the Queen of the Empowered Soul. I want for you to check it out and follow me there and support me. I'm also on Twitter. I'm on LinkedIn. I am on Branch Out. I'm on all of the social media things there. So I want to just thank you. Good morning, Mr. Ellis. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Daphne. How are you? I'm doing great, thanks.
I am wonderful. Well, I tell you, I was just telling the listeners that to get their pens and papers so that they can begin to write down all the wealth of information that you will be sharing with us. So I will get you on live in a moment. I just need to take care of a little housekeeping. And before I play the clip, I want to remind the listeners that we will entertain your questions during the dialogue, and the number for you to call is 646-915-8166. I'll be back with you in a moment.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day. Hello, and
Mr.
welcome to
Ellis,
Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're
glad
you're here. Hey, listen, get over to Dr. Daphne.
I tell you, all these little gadgets here, I'm just having fun with all the buttons. We have a new studio on, and sometimes you think you get your browser off, and it's not there. So, best work with me. Mr. Ellis, welcome again to the show.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Would you please take the time, as much as you want, to please introduce yourself to the listeners and to tell them about your beginning?
Yeah, hi. Hello. Good morning. My name is Leon Ellis, and I own Chocolat Restaurant Lounge in New York City, specifically in Harlem. I also am the owner of Mocha Lounge, which is also in Harlem, and Harlem USA Stores, which is a retail store, and we specialize in selling T-shirts, caps, and other tourist items here in New York. And I'm happy to be on the show this morning, and I am available to answer any questions that your listeners may have.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Mr. Ellis. I read your bio, and, of course, it's available up there on my Facebook page and also on the radio site for people to read. And as I read it, I began thinking, oh, my heavens, I think he was born with the restaurant business in his DNA, because I read that the first introduction to the Texas barbecue to New York, and specifically to Harlem, was done by your daddy?
It was done by me. I actually did it.
Oh, by you? Okay, okay. So I know you have some Jamaican roots, right?
Yes.
And I read Texas barbecue. I'm thinking, why not curried and jerk? How did you get into the restaurant business? I know and I've read it, but I want the listeners to know.
Well,
how did you get into the restaurant business?
Well, I graduated from Tuskegee University in Alabama with a degree in food science and nutrition. And and I also have a diploma in agricultural sciences. So I was sort of prepped for foods and understanding foods, understanding nutrition. So being from that background, I had an intimate I have an intimate experience with food and presentation and how important food is in our everyday life. And
mm-hmm.
so for me, it was a natural progression for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
New York
and I must tell you, I've only gone to one of your establishment. I was privileged a few weeks ago to dine at Chocolat with two of my colleagues. And when you talk about the intimacy of food and nutrition and the presentation, I must tell you, you guys have it down pat, because it doesn't matter how good the food tastes. If it's not presented properly, nobody is taking the time to get to know what it tastes like. And I tell you, I was sitting there, and the place that I named the penthouse, you can remember me telling you that.
Right, yeah.
I think you call it the VIP section.
Mm-hmm.
But I figure, oh, this is the penthouse. And the reason I thought of it as the penthouse was the mere fact that by sitting there, I was able to look at everything that was being served to the other patrons in the restaurant. And everything came out, was a masterpiece. And I looked at it, I said, oh my God, I wonder what is that? Look at that. And then I look at the people who got it, and I look at them putting their forks in it, and I just saw the expression on their faces, and I knew that whatever it was that they were feasting on was as delicious as it looked. And the other thing that mesmerized me, if you may, Mr. Ellis, was I asked one of your waiters who owns this business, because I knew that whomever the owner was had his or her pulse on everything that was happening in the place. And he explained with me, with such a brilliant smile on his face, he said, oh, it's owned by a black gentleman, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he said, oh, and he owns the business across the street as well. So I said, wonderful. Of course, for me, not that I'm prejudiced in any way, but learning that the establishment was owned by a black person, I felt a lot of pride that I was spending my money there.
Yeah,
and then we were still sitting there, and a gentleman walked through the door, and I said to my colleagues, that's the owner. And they said, why would you say that's the owner? Look how many people walked through the door. I said, no, but that gentleman walked in with authority. I saw the authority, I saw the pride, and I saw the way you entered into that place. And I know it is a piece of joy and pride that you hold close to you. And you get that feel when you walk into all of your establishment, or has anybody else ever tell you that before I said that to you?
Actually, I've heard that a couple of times, and I always wonder myself what it is about my demeanor that would make it so obvious that I have so much pride in the things that we create. When we do restaurants, when we do establishments, we do them, you know, not for ourselves, but we do them with our guests in mind. And the Harlem is pretty much a black community. It's the access for African American culture here in New York. And so for us to own establishments in this community, I think it's a great honor. We take pride in being able to provide the very highest quality in service and merchandise to our guests, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably what you see when you see me walk in. That's probably what you see when you see me walk in.
Mm-hmm. You are so right, Mr. Ellis, when you say that, because I think it was about a month ago, I was privileged to be part of an official opening of my stylist. My stylist just opened his own establishment over on Alan Clayton Powell Boulevard. And I was privileged to be part of that event. As a matter of fact, I was there broadcasting live at his official opening. And I live in Connecticut. And I came back here, and I was telling people what I witnessed down there in Harlem. I said, listen, the people in New York, specifically Harlem, have a sense of pride in everything that they do. I watched the people who were coming to that event. The men were dressed classy. There were men in their bow ties and suits, and they just looked so elegant walking there. And I was floored because I'm accustomed to be around people who dress professionally, but the style I saw there in Harlem, I had not seen before. And I think I did something like 48 interviews. And majority of those people were entrepreneurs or business owners. And everyone was there in support of that gentleman. And they had encouraging words for him. And they all spoke about what he's bringing to that community. And I think what sets you apart from maybe restaurant owners in other communities is the fact that you're not only a restaurant owner, you are vested in all aspect of that business. You went, you studied for it, you make sure your best craft is coming out. And I am sure it is safe to say that you hire the best chef, because you can't be in there cooking and keeping your pulse on everything, but you make sure that the people that you bring in is the top of the top.
Yes, we do. We have our executive chef, Anthony Williamson, is extraordinarily experienced. And we knew that in order for us to be successful, we had to have someone with a passion for food. And not just does food itself, but the presentation of food. And as you can see on our menu, it's a variety of different items on our menu. We have some meats. We have seafood. We also have vegetarian meals for people who do not eat meat. And so we have a tremendous amount of seafood also. So we had to have someone working with us on our team that was really prolific in his ability to create food that's exciting, the taste, the flavor. And so we take great pride in knowing that we were able to do that. And along with the food, we know we have to deliver a very high level of service. And so the combination of those things, I believe, sets us apart. And, yeah, we do take pride in the fact that this area that we're in Harlem is ever-changing, is really changing at a rapid rate. And we're one of the few black-owned establishments on the Strip. And so I think that it's really important for us to deliver the very highest level of service, and we really take pride in doing that.
I know this is not the first restaurant you own, so I want to kind of go back to the beginning when you opened that first restaurant. What was that experience like for you, Mr. Ellis?
Scary. Scary because people really... in New York, the restaurant scene in New York is very competitive, and to be successful, you have to have really high standards. And you know, when you go to the store and you buy a shirt, a piece of clothing, you like it, but you're not eating it. And food is something
that's
that people
right.
eat,
mm-hmm.
and that makes a huge difference. And so it was scary for us because there's just so many things that we had to take into consideration and do well. In order for us to succeed. But we were able to get through it, and, you know, because of my training and my experience in business, we're able to get through it. And I think one of the keys to success in this business, as opposed in addition to other businesses, is to be able to hire qualified people to
mm-hmm.
work with you, to be on your team. And we're
mm-hmm.
fortunate we're able to do that, you know. So we still continue to do that because I think it's very important that we do.
Mm-hmm. You know, what you just said is important because a lot of people in business think that they got to control everything. And when you practice those things, then you are not growing and you are limiting yourself from growth.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand the importance of having a team around you that understands share ownership, meaning that they are committed to the quality of service and products that goes out to customers. Because no one can do it alone, especially in the food industry. I mean, clothing and automobile and those things is something different. You cannot make it alone. But especially in the food industry, you have to have a team that if anything happens and you are sick today and you cannot go into the establishment, they are committed enough to say the same quality must go out there. And I tell my clients, I said, you know, it doesn't matter if you're working a job now or you're not following through on your purpose and calling. You following and being promoted to your purpose and calling is dependent on the quality of work that you are giving to your employer now. Because a lot of people are in jobs and they are doing tacky at the job they do, yet they want to own their own business. And I say, God ain't promoting you to your own business if you are not giving your best to your employer. So you need to give your best so that you can be promoted to where you are supposed to be.
I agree completely. I think that it works both ways. I think that we really respect and admire the people that work with us, that's on our team. And so we their well-being is equally as important to us as the products that we put out, because we believe that when people enjoy their work, they do so much better, and that we have pretty high standards. And so when we employ someone, we take them through a process of training for them to understand what our culture is here at the restaurant. And so, and we tell them that we care, and we show that we care, and I think it's important that it does go both ways, because when people take pride in what they do, you do see a difference. And I do agree that in order to make progress, you have to do well at what you're presently doing. I think
mm-hmm.
God and the universe sort of demands that.
You mentioned about that first restaurant and opening the doors there was scary. And as you look back on that journey, that first restaurant was, when was that,
Emily's, that was 1993 or 4, I think.
Emily's, 1993. And as you look on that journey, beginning at the starting gate being so scary, to where you are now, what are some of the lessons you have learned along the journey that you think you can share with entrepreneurs that will help them? Because there's still a lot of us who is kind of standing at the gate on the stilts, and we want to, the start button, the starting gunshot went off, but we're still there at the starting gate and kind of, you know, we want to go, we don't want to go. So what are some of the lessons you have learned that can help us to move out of the starting gate?
Well, you know, it's always a big decision when one decides to go into business for themselves, because
mm-hmm.
it means that your success depends on your performance. And if
mm-hmm.
you have confidence in yourself and you're prepared mentally and from an experience standpoint, I think that you stand a very good chance of success. It's waiting for the perfect moment to go into business is a challenge because the perfect moment never really happens.
That's right. And
when you have a great idea and a great concept, and you've done your homework and you feel that you have enough to move forward, you have to move forward and not procrastinate, because as you move forward, God and the universe will line things up in order for you to accomplish your goal. So the one thing I can say is whatever business a person is going into, it doesn't have to be the restaurant business. I think that preparation, do as much research as you can in the area that you want to go into business. Be surrounded by people who have experience in whatever it is you want to do, because you're right. It's going it alone is a challenge, and it could be very frustrating, very tiring, and very futile. So I think that it's important to surround yourself with people that you have trust and confidence in, which may be a challenge initially, but I think that once you get into it, you'll understand that the better the people are who are around you, that highly increases your chances of success.
I want to remind the callers, you can call in at 646-915-8166 if you have a question for Mr. Ellis. My guest now is Mr. Leon Ellis, who is the owner of Chocolate and Mocha and the Harlem Underground from Harlem in New York City. So you want to pick his brains, you got to call in. That's the only way you're going to do it. Plus, if you are a customer who have dined or shopped of any of these establishments, we want to hear from you. So call in. I mean, everybody needs a little pat on the back. So call in and show some love to Mr. Ellis and some encouragement to his staff. So let us hear from you. The number is 646-915-8166. And I want to just go back on something you said in your last piece of conversation about your staff. You know, in order for them to give you good, they must be treated well. And I tell you something, the other thing that impacted me about Chocolat is the diversity of the staff. I mean, you walk in there and you see some of everybody there. And it speaks volume about the establishment, because it means that everybody comes there, feel a part of it. Because people are peculiar, you know. They go to a place and they see one ethnicity and or one culture, and they got a reason not to go back there. So you have a great, a rich mixture of the cultures there.
Yes, because we employ people who are qualified, and people come in, and people who apply for positions, and we hire people we're equal opportunity, and we hire people based on their qualifications. That's probably the only criteria, and their ability to fit into the framework, the culture that we have here at the restaurant here at Chocolat, and because we're in a very diverse community, you can see that diversity that's in our staff. And I think it's important, and I do agree that it brings a certain comfort level to guests who are coming into the restaurant to see that there is a healthy mix of different cultures here. And it's something I think that's important to our success.
Mm-hmm. You know, a friend of mine who used to live in Brooklyn, he just went home to be with the Lord this past April. And He and I, we were talking, and he mentioned, I'm not going to call the name, he mentioned a restaurant in Manhattan. And he said to me, he said the food was good, but he says, I'm not going there and I'm not going to take you there, because he said the people are too loud there. He says everybody there is loud. The customers are loud and the staff is loud and everything there is loud. And he says it's a shame because they have good food. And I thought of it when he said it, and I said, isn't that something? Although the food is good, but he didn't think the food was good enough to take me there because of the way, the behavior that the people was demonstrating. And you never know what people feelings are a lot of times when they come to your establishment, because a lot of times they are not going to voice it, which they should do, whether in writing or by a phone call or something, because, I mean, management cannot fix what you don't know about. So if you don't tell them, they won't know to fix it, because maybe more than likely the proprietor of that place doesn't have his or her pulse on things, that is, finger on the pulse of what's happening there, like you have on Chocolate. So I'm thinking, I said to myself, well, it's a pity he's not alive to experience Chocolate, because I know he wouldn't be able to say something like that about there.
You know, the interesting thing about what you just said, the story just told me, is that different people like different things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in business that serves the public, there are people who would not like what you do. I think
mm-hmm.
the idea is to have a general sense of what your demographic, what most of that demographic likes, or have a good feel for your customer base. I think
mm-hmm.
that's really important. So as what we do here is that we don't do things to please ourselves so much, because
mm-hmm.
What we like, other people may not like.
Mm-hmm.
And so
that's right, because
you're
not in business for you.
Right, exactly. So we poll our guest base on a regular basis, and we get tremendous feedback. And
right.
We welcome feedback, and when the feedback is negative, we welcome that even more. Because
exactly.
the person who tells you what they're not happy about, it's a learning experience for us as entrepreneurs. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's one of the most important things you can get back from a guest is a negative feedback. You don't really
mm-hmm.
want that, but when you get it, you need to welcome it and
mm-hmm.
use it with
mm-hmm.
an open mind, because
mm-hmm.
it will help you to expand not just the way you think, but to improve
mm-hmm.
tremendously on the level of service that you deliver, and definitely maybe improve your product.
Mm-hmm. And I can affirm what you just mentioned there based on a feedback one of my colleagues gave you that first time we met you. And I could see that you were engraving what she was saying on your brains, because you were going to make sure when you opened the next establishment, nobody was going to say that. And, I mean, not everybody would have took what she said with the pride that you took it. You not only listened to what she said, you gave us a feedback of how what she was talking about took place. You spoke about how the measurement was done and everything, and I said, this speaks volume about this gentleman. He's serious about what he's doing. So I know that there's so much that we as entrepreneurs can learn from you, whether we are in business already or we are looking to do business later on, but you have a wealth of information that we can all learn and gain from. So let us switch gears a little. How does one mix clothing business with the restaurant business, and how did that come about?
Well, that sort of came about because when I go on vacations and I wear a shirt that says Harlem, I attract a lot of attention. People are really fascinated by Harlem. When you go out of the country or even other parts of the country. And at the time, there weren't any places selling Harlem T-shirts. And I knew that it would be a great opportunity if we went into business doing that. So based on my research at the time, that there were no places focusing on selling it. And when I would wear those shirts, people would want to ask me for them. You know, and it happened so many times, we actually decided to open a store selling Harlem USA T-shirts, which is our focus, is Harlem USA T-shirts, but we carry T-shirts of all kinds now. And
mm-hmm.
Harlem is a really famous community nationally and internationally. And I found out that when I travel and I wear a T-shirt that says Harlem, people are just amazed and they're happy to see it. And so that was the tie-in. It really has not much to do with the restaurant business. But I also believe, though, that an entrepreneur has diversity, mental diversity. And because I think it's important to be able to express yourself in different ways by doing different kinds of businesses, because business is such a being an entrepreneur is such a it's almost like a universal law. When you run a business, you know how to run a business. You can use that experience in just about any business. Once you know how to be a leader and how to put people in the places where they do best. I think that, for example, a CEO of a large multinational corporation can leave that position and take another position at another company that does something completely different from what they spent maybe the last 10 years of their life doing. That's because mm-hmm. the thought process of, as an entrepreneur is not specific to any one industry or any one calling. It's mm-hmm. the ability to be flexible and the
That's
ability
right.
to be diverse and the ability mm-hmm. to have to welcome new ideas and mm-hmm. And then being a leader of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what enormous want to be successful as an entrepreneur.
Right. You know, I had a big old smile on my face when you mentioned about how the T-shirts came about, because a lot of times as an empowerment coach and someone who connect people to their authenticity and calling and purpose, I tell people it's not rocket science to know what you were created for. I say, as you walk around in your everyday lives and there is something that bugs you and really rub you the wrong side, it has something to do with why you were created. Because it's not bothering anybody else. It's not upsetting anybody else. Because it has nothing to do with them. So if something is bothering you, you need to fix it. So you need to go out and find out how to fix it. So you could have looked around and you could have been thinking, oh, why ain't nobody selling Harlem T-shirt? No, but you didn't ask that question. You researched, you found out it was not being done, and you say, hey, here is an opportunity for me to do. And that's another lesson that for us to learn from. You know, the thing that bothers you, you are supposed to find the solution to fix it. And again, when you mentioned about a CEO being in a corporation for 10 years or maybe more and then leave to go somewhere else, he's not bent out of shape because he has a formula that works. And it doesn't matter where you put him in. The industry doesn't matter so long as you have a formula that works. And you put that formula to use, it is going to help you to become successful. Because I remember growing up as a child in Jamaica, people used to stay in one career for their entire life. But it's not like that anymore. I think there are some people that probably staying 5 or 10 years and then they're moving along because they realize, especially if they are in corporations, the corporations don't want them there for too long because then they begin to cost the corporation money. So they're looking for fresh blood to come in. So you got to move with the culture of the time because everything changed. And if you decide you are not changing, then you are going to become stagnant and nothing is going to be happening in your lives and in your career. What's your take on that?
I think flexibility is king.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ability to change and to accept change and to accept it in the frame of mind that change is good if you work with it and allow it to work with what... Let me clarify that a moment. The ability to learn from people, from other people, is extraordinarily important as an entrepreneur because they're entrepreneurs who hire people with more experience and expertise in the field that they're in are people who succeed. It's really important to not believe that you know everything because you really don't. One of the most important things is to be around people who are more experienced or have diversity in experience so that they bring a wealth of information. And this is why flexibility in thought is so crucial and is so important. You have to be open to new ideas, and those ideas may not necessarily come from people who are so greatly experienced. They may come from the most unusual sources. You know, we have different positions here at the restaurant, and probably the lowest position in totem pole may be a person who's a dishwasher. But that person is an expert at what they do, you know, and that person is a professional at what they do. If you if someone in management goes into that position and tries to do that job, they will understand what it takes to do it is what that person has. You see? So you want to learn from that person as much as you can because that's what they're really good at. And I think I think to be successful as an entrepreneur is to have a diversity. We use this word diversity a lot, but to have flexibility in your thought process and not believe that your way is the only way.
That's right. And I, you know something? If the only opportunity to get into that establishment is to go in as a dishwasher, as you mentioned, nothing is wrong with that position because you will be promoted from that position when you demonstrate the quality of work that the establishment is looking for. So that person that went in as a dishwasher and washed the best dishes you could ever think about. You could look, a woman could look in that glass or in that plate and put their makeup on as if it's a mirror. I am sure that the head chef or the maitre d' or whatever person is going to see the quality of work that that person demonstrates, and they're going to think, we're going to have to step it up a notch. So maybe that same person who went in as a dishwasher can be promoted to a prep chef or something. But there's always an opportunity, and it goes back to when I mentioned that if you do good work where you are, God is going to open a way for you to be promoted until you get into what you were called to be. One of the other things for entrepreneurs that you mentioned about that we should embrace change and be around like-minded people. A lot of entrepreneurs are out there on a Lone Ranger mission of recreating and reinventing the wheel. And it's no longer necessary because there are many people who have paved the way for us to learn from. But people are extremely reluctant in investing in themselves and into their intellectual capital. And this is why it is so important for even entrepreneurs. Yes, even entrepreneurs need mentors. We need role models, and you need coaches. Because there are a lot of entrepreneurs who they don't go to any conferences, they don't read any material about the area that they are in. And as entrepreneurs, we have to find out and seek out for the journals that's in our industry, the magazines, the association, and invest in our growth and our success. Because it's not about what society do for you, but it is what you are doing for yourself, and we are responsible for our growth and success.
Yes, I'm sorry. I think it's important. I think everything you said, I'm on the same page with you. I think that you're wise in your years in what you've just said. I think it's extraordinarily important for us to understand that you cannot be a Lone Ranger. You know, and let me tell you, it's very easy for that to happen because this actually happened to me at one point in my career where I didn't talk to people, I wasn't open, I didn't express, I internalized a lot of challenges that I was facing. And that's not really healthy. I have a coach now. I have a business coach or a life coach. and it's someone that you you just tell everything. You have to unwind and let things out and get a person, get feedback, constructive feedback from someone who doesn't have an agenda. It's also important to be part of associations. It's also important to exchange ideas with other professionals in your field. It's really, really important to network. It's really, really important to be open. And one of the challenges I believe that entrepreneurs face is that they believe that they're the only one dealing with those kinds of challenges. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you when you talk to people who are successful, and you think they have no problems, you think life is really wonderful for them and everything is good. And life may be wonderful and everything may be good, but they will tell you, I'm successful because I'm open-minded, because I share. I don't hold things in as believing I'm the only person who can do it, or I have this huge secret. Or I'm not going to help. And one of the most important things to success is to give. Give information. Give up your time. Give up your thought process. Give up your money. Contribute to your church organization. Contribute to improve. One of the things we pride ourselves most here is that we have a scholarship fund that's named for my mother, the Emily Ellis Scholarship Fund, and I've been doing this maybe now for maybe 12 or 14 years, is that I give scholarships to students going to college for the first time. That's one of the most rewarding things that we do, because we take people in the community who want to get an education and we offer them scholarships. I think that doing those things as successful entrepreneurs and business people is so important, and it's so important, as I said before, to give. To give of yourself and give of your time. And just believe that you have to be open. Just believe that you, God has blessed you with more. And so the more you have, the higher responsibility you have to share and to give.
You know, I was smiling when you mentioned that. I was having that conversation with one of my coaches the other day, and he was saying to me, You're going to have to get somebody to start manage your money, because you're on this mission where you're giving, and the buck will have to stop sometimes. You need to get somebody who is going to advocate and collect your fees before you start serving all these people. And, you know, when you are on a mission to help others, sometimes people take advantage of you, and they just treat you in a way that they'll abuse your service to them, and you really need somebody to watch out for you. But I know it is so rewarding and enriching when I encounter somebody who is going through a difficulty, and I know God has given me the skill and the talent to help that person turn their life around. I was talking with a woman yesterday, and she was saying to me, I know I need a coach, but I don't know why I need a coach. So I said to her, you are ahead of a lot of the people, because a lot of people are thinking they don't need one. But at least you know you need one. And I say, it is my job to help you sort out the reasons why you need one. But other than mentoring and role modeling and having coaches, I find journaling as a very powerful thing in my life, because a lot of times I need to write these things down that I want to share with others. A lot of time the Lord deposits something in me, and I really don't know where in my life journey it fits, but as I put it into my journal, and then there's sometime I'm part of a mastermind group, and that thing that was deposited in me, that I saved the data in my journal, there's someone in that group that need that very thing. And I oftentimes look back and I said, if I had not documented this thing, I would not be able to pull it now to add value to the person who needs it. So there's a lot of support out there now, mastermind groups, networking groups, that we as entrepreneurs need to be a part of, because unless we utilize these things, we are really missing out.
I agree completely. It's you know, my coach gave me an example. He says some of the most successful basketball players and football players, who is the one person they see every day, and that's their coach. No matter how good the person is, it's always helpful to be able to express yourself and take someone else's opinion, someone whom you respect, and you know is qualified to give you that that opinion. So I think a crucial part of success, I believe, is to have an open mind, to be able to decipher what works and what doesn't, to be able to give credit to people who help and who contribute to the things that make you successful. I think it is such an important thing to be able to be mindful of the importance of other people in one's life. And I think those things, you know, being successful in business and being an entrepreneur is it encompasses so many different things. And I think one of the most important thing is just understanding the people with whom you work. I think you have to be mindful of those people's emotions, their feelings, and what's important to them. Because in a fine analysis, what's really important to someone else is what's important to them, not what's important to you. And so when you give people what they want, or you make what they want happen for them, then they'll begin to respond to you. But I think it's short-sighted to be selfish and to only think of oneself.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. Please go ahead.
You know, I oftentimes use this illustration of relationships, especially the working ones and our networking relationships, as a salad or a bouquet of flowers. Because when you look at the beauty of a bouquet of flowers, it's not one flower. Even if you're using one bloom, you have some foliage in it, some green. And when you look on a salad and you taste it, may it be a fruit salad or vegetable salad, the different taste in it is what bring the deliciousness to the palate. And it's the same thing with our relationships that we enter into. You have to say, what am I bringing to this relationship? How can I add value? It is no longer about what's in it for me. I tell people, dispel that. It's not what's in it for you. It's what you are bringing to it. Because when you add value to these relationships, value will come back to you. But if you go in there just thinking about me, myself, and I, just the three of you, ain't nothing happening. But you go in there wanting to add value to each person that you encounter, and you are going to get the richness. I want to remind the people who are listening online, I see there are quite a few of you listening, unless you are listening from work, feel free to call in. I don't want you to jeopardize your job. But call in, or you can type your question in the chat room, and I will read it for Mr. Ellis. And for those of you who can call in, if you can call in and whisper so that we can hear you, I want to hear from you. The number is 646-915-8166. And we are winding down. They say time goes quickly when we are having fun, and I will be right back with you.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Husson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right. For only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
Yes, I wanted to check that out because I'm getting ready to roll out some new products and packages. And I want to give first dibs to you, my listeners and supporters. And I also want to remind you about my Sunday segment, which deals with life issues, reinventing your lives, overcoming adversities, or any other empowerment things that is happening in your life. So you want to join me on Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. So back with my distinguished honored guest, Mr. Leon Ellis, who is the owner of Mocha Chocolate and Harlem Underground in Harlem City, New York. Back to you, Mr. Ellis. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So would you like to just explain for us the difference between mocha and chocolate?
Mocha is a lounge where our guests come in maybe after work and they hang with friends and family and have a couple of drinks and have small plates or finger food. And chocolate is a full-service restaurant where we serve lunch and dinner and brunch on the weekends. And it's a seated restaurant where we have a bar, and we have a private room, and we also have a VIP area where people can entertain their guests in a private manner. And I think that we have a really great place, and I look forward to your listeners coming over and enjoy.
Mm-hmm. And let's go back. What's the Harlem Underground, where is that located?
Harlem Underground is located at 20 East 125th Street, between 5th and Madison. And we also have an e-commerce store.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Talk about that, please.
Yeah, harlemunderground.com, where you can order our merchandise from anywhere in the country.
Yeah, because as a matter of fact, anywhere in the world, right?
Anywhere in the world, yes.
Yeah. All right. So, you mentioned about the private room. Oh, but before I go there, you are looking to start something else next to chocolate?
Yes, we're opening a hamburger restaurant, natural beef, grass-fed. It's called Honeycomb Burger. And it's very family-friendly, family-oriented. We encourage people to bring their children. It's going to be really healthy food. Moderately priced, so it's really affordable for families, and we expect to be very successful at that.
Oh, yes, I see no reason why you wouldn't be. You have been successful in everything else that you are doing, so I'm sure that would not be any difference. And I want you to kind of summarize your thought, because I want you to know, Mr. Ellis, we only have 12 minutes remaining.
Wow.
And I won't let the cat out of the bag. That's a private joke between Mr. Ellis and our listeners. We're not going to let you know what that is all about. But would you please just summarize your thoughts for my listeners? What you want, what bullet points would you like to leave us with as an experienced entrepreneur this morning?
Well, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, it plays a tremendously important role in our community and in other people's lives. As an entrepreneur, you provide jobs, you provide opportunities for other people to do well in their lives. We hire maybe 32 people here at our restaurant. And so we have a big responsibility to make sure that we perform at a high level, because we're responsible for providing jobs for those people. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, I think that it gives you an opportunity to express your individuality and to be able to use that in concert with others and create opportunities and a career success. I think that people who want to do, who are driven to succeed, want to have their own business. I think that you should go ahead and do it. Do the research. Speak to people who are doing similar things to what you would like to do. And take every opportunity to learn more. I think that, and understand that you're not the most important person in your organization. The most important people are the people who are doing the work to make it happen, to get it done. I think that we talked about a dishwasher before. A dishwasher is probably one of the most important positions in a restaurant. You know, the people's importance should not be dictated by their position. I think it's important that we respect and understand each other, and I think that it's important that we give and give of ourselves. And you change people's lives when you do that. You change your life also. And I think that those of us who are blessed and who are fortunate to own our own businesses, we have responsibility to the people around us to be able to create differences for them, to be able to listen, to be compassionate. I think that's really important. And giving. I just cannot say enough about giving. Giving is really important, not just to your church or a church organization, but to other people, to be mindful of other people's needs and wants. And as you pursue your goal, and when challenges come, as they will, I think we have to be prepared. And if you're not prepared, go back and rely on your past successes, your past experiences where you had challenges and you overcome them. Because true success is a process of doing what maybe has not been done in your life. Or to be able to overcome a challenge that seemed insurmountable, and to be able to navigate your way, your process through, and to enjoy life, to when you have a mission and you're accomplishing it, it's important that you enjoy it. And I've gone through periods in my life where I've been so focused on my mission I didn't really enjoy my life, but there was no balance. I think it's important to have balance. It's really important to have balance. It's important to talk. Find someone that you respect, that you can talk to without concern about confidentiality. And just be open with yourself and just be yourself at what you do and be good at what you do. Be earnest about, you know, your purpose. I think those things are important.
And that statement is a perfect segue. What does Mr. Ellis do for fun? You're so busy, you're running from one place to another. What do you do to keep your life balanced, and what do you do for fun?
You know, I exercise. I work out maybe 3 to 4, at least 4 days a week. I do yoga. I run. I get. I do acupuncture, I do massages, I go on vacation at different parts of the country or maybe out of the country. Because those things, I see those things are investment in what I do. Those things, it's really important to take care of mind and body, to be able to think rationally and to be able to relax. And, you know, we all go through stressful periods. So I think it's crucially important for us to take care of ourselves, you know, in order for us to be able to do the things we want to do.
Wonderful. Well, I tell you, I look forward to the possibility of having you back on the show at another time. I guess people are just there. The chat room is full, and people, I guess, are just writing. I know people will be downloading this from iTunes and just devouring the wealth of experience that you have passed on to us. I can just go global by saying thank you for being a role model for the rest of us, and to just helping us to understand, although at the starting gate it might be scary, it's okay to get out of the gate and to pursue the greatness that God has created us for. And for just being transparent to us and just sharing with us I just want to thank you, and I want you to know you have a platform to come and share at any time your heart desires. So, again, I thank you for being here with us this morning.
Thank you so much, and thank you to your listeners for taking the time to listen to this dialogue. I really appreciate it.
Right, and we look forward to people coming in there to Mocha or to
Chocolat
and going up to buy all the T-shirts. And when the other restaurant opens, we just pray that people will go and just be part of it and just share with us. Call us here and say, we are glad we heard it on the radio. And just tell us what it was like again. Just keep doing God's work, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, I will. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. That was Mr. Leon Ellis, of the owner from Chocolat and Mocha there in New York. What an experience, you know. What an experience. He shows, he told us in his closing the importance of having a balanced life. And it is just amazing to know, although he's running an empire, successful empire, he has still taken the time to go out and just spend time for him, have his does his meditation, his yoga, and all of that good things. And what a beauty. I pray that you enjoy this segment today as I did, and I look forward to seeing you again on Sunday evening. So follow your destiny.
My destiny.
I know what I'm here for.
Tell the Lord, thank you. I'm going to see the breaking of day. It's destiny. And I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for, yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. He's a strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him. Begin to thank him. Begin to praise him.